We've been talking about, first of all, we started this series. We looked at the promise of the Comforter over in John chapter 14, where Jesus told His disciples, I am going away, but as I go away, I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you another Comforter, one just like Himself, one of the same kind. Then we looked at some of the workings of the Holy Spirit. We just touched on this and mentioned it, and we're going back and looking at these in a little bit more detail. We talked about chapter 3, and we'll start at verse number 11. We're looking at the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then later on we'll look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at some manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The thing that I want you to get, I want you to understand, we'll touch on it a little bit tonight. Anytime we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God in the third person, or the third person of the Trinity. God, He's just as much God as God is God. All right? I kind of cringe, and I kind of back up when people kind of start making jokes about the Holy Spirit and kind of taking lightly. I'm thinking, now, lightning's going to strike in a minute, and I don't want to be, you know, too close. I take it serious. I don't joke about the Lord, and don't joke, you know, in a flipping way. It's serious, and so we need to take it serious. But I want to talk about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We'll start reading in verse number 11. My text verse is verse number 16, but just for context, let's look at verse number 11. The Apostle Paul, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Our life, our salvation, our hope of glory is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ." When I say that word built, He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is everything. And so Paul said, "For other foundation can no man lay." If you want to, Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we know that that is Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He's talking to believers here. He's talking to those who have already trusted Him as their personal Savior, and they're endeavoring to live the Christian life. Now, He says in verse number 12, He says, "Now, if any man or any believer build upon this foundation," and here's the materials, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. All right? Both of them are materials. But both they have different values, all right? So here we have, you're building your life. If any man build his life, build his relationship with the Lord, whatever, with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. He's talking about at the judgment seat of Christ, when all of us will stand before the Lord and we will give an account for what we've done for the Lord in this life. There's two great judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, where believers will be judged, or not for our sin, or that was paid for at Calvary. Amen? We'll be talking about what we've done. We'll be given account for how we've lived our life since we've been born again. And some will have built with gold, silver, and precious stone. Some will have built with wood, hay, and stubble. But in that day, it's all going to be manifested. All right? You may be able to hide it from some people, but in that day, it's going to be revealed. Now notice this. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work," not man's soul, "but every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide," that means it remains after the fire, it says, "which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. It doesn't say that he will be lost, because Paul went ahead and explains it. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So do you see what's going on? We're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. We're going to give an account what we've done for Christ or have not done for Christ since we became a believer. And the works are going to be revealed by fire. And those that have something left after the fire, because you've built with silver, gold, and precious stone, what does fire do to those things? Just purifies them. You put fire to gold, it gets more pure. The same way with silver. It may heat up, and it may bubble, and all the dross come to the top, and one thing else. But what happens to the wood, hay, and stubble when you put fire to it? You have a pile of ashes. And the Bible says, if your life consists of wood, hay, and stubble, you will suffer loss. There'll be no reward, but yourself will be saved. We're not talking about being whether we've done enough or didn't do enough. We're going to get in heaven. This is talking about rewards. Now, verse number 16, Paul said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" All right. There is possibly no clearer truth in the New Testament than that the believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I said the believer, a person who has not trusted Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into their life, they are not indwelt by the Spirit. We'll go on and see this in more clear verses in just a moment. So Paul puts it in the form of a question. He says in verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" If you've been born again, you are a new creature in Christ. You are now a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's why when we talk about when you young boys got saved, we talk about the Lord coming into our heart. He comes in by His Spirit. He indwells us. He takes up His abode in us. We are now the temple of God. All right. So even how we treat this temple, I live in a very comfortable apartment upstairs, and I appreciate the way my wife keeps it. I mean, she keeps the dog hair up, and she gets the mud out and the stuff. She cleans it because it's our dwelling place. Well, if God is dwelling through His Spirit living in it, should we have a dirty temple? Allow all kinds of worldly things in there, and there's sometimes I go visit somebody. And I remember one time I went to visit somebody, and they reached over here on and they pulled their beer bottle back here behind the table. "Oh, hey, preacher, how you doing?" And he didn't want. But the Lord sees that. The Lord sees that. If I never saw it, the Lord sees that thing. He sees what's in our heart. And so Paul says, "Know ye not that your body?" Verse number 16, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Let's go over to chapter 6 real quick. Chapter 6, verse number 19. Paul says almost the same thing, verse 19. What? Question mark. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And he goes on to say in verse number 20, "For ye are bought with a price." Of course, that is the precious. Peter talks about that precious blood. "We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your temple, in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, of this is a fact of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, and by just these two verses, there can be no doubt about it. And we'll see. We'll look at some more verses in just a moment. Well, let's think about a couple of questions as we go into this study. Why does the Holy Spirit, why does the Spirit of God indwell the believer? And what is the purpose of His incoming or His indwelling the believer? Why does the Spirit of God indwell us, and what is the purpose of this indwelling? Go with me. I said we're going to look at some verses, so I want you to go with me over to the book of Romans. All right? Just one or two pages over the Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's drop in at verse number 9. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're a born-again child of God, we walk not after the flesh any longer, but we're in the Spirit. All right? He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God, 8, verse number 9. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ is the same. There's several names, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, all right? Spirit of God, it's all one and the same, all right? So here, Paul uses another term. He says, if so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ. Now, notice it's one and the same. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. All right? It's the Holy Spirit. He is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That word quicken means make alive. Quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Again, there can be no doubt that the Spirit of God indwells the believer. He takes up His abode in the believer. We see it there in Corinthians 3. We see it in Corinthians 6. We see it in Romans 8 that we just read. Paul said there in verse number 9, but ye, in Romans 8, verse number 9, he says, but ye, you who are Christians, he's talking to the church at Rome, to the believers. Now, this is the opposite character of what Paul had been describing. Now, let's work our way backwards just for a little bit. This is kind of fun sometimes. When I get to one, I kind of go back up and read. Let's work our way up from verse number 9. Note these phrases. Verse number 8. He says, verse number 8, in the flesh cannot please God. That they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right? Now, look at verse number 7. Notice this phrase. The carnal or the fleshly, that's what that word carnal means, the fleshly mind is enemy against God. So we see that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are carnally minded cannot or is enemy against God. Now look at verse number 6. Notice this phrase. But the carnally minded is death. And then up in verse number 5, those who, notice this phrase, are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So when we get down to verse number 9, he says, but ye, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's talking about a different character. There's been a change that's taken place. We're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. Everything that has to do with the flesh is against God. It's intimately against God. Cannot please God. It does mind the things of the flesh. So all of this shows the power of the gospel. The power of Jesus Christ in the gospel to change. The Bible says over in the 1 Corinthians 5, 17? Yeah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. If there wasn't a change that took place in my life, I would be wondering if I was really born again. But I think different. I might not always be perfect. Don't ask my wife. She'll tell you how often. But that's the truth. Wives do that, and husbands do that too. But there has been a change been made. Those things I once hated or once did not, I now love. And people that tell me, "Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for so long, I've just not been to church in the last 20 years. Uh-oh, I have a little doubt. They should have a doubt. They should have a doubt, but all right, let's move on. The purpose then of the Holy Spirit, His indwelling, is that He might cause us and help us to live righteously, to live a Christ-like life. We cannot do it within ourselves, so He indwells us. He is with us. Now, before our salvation, the Bible describes us as dead in trespasses and sin. When it comes to the things of God, we were dead. Just as if we had a corpse laying here and you walk up and say hi, they will not speak to you. If they do, we're out the building. If we're gone. I mean, when we laid our, my dear mom, I touched her hand. I stroked her cheek just before. She never responded to me, Bradley, because she wasn't there. That was just the house that she used to live in. She was dead. She was dead. And so, spiritually speaking, before we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, we were dead to the things of God. We were dead to the things. This was just black letters on white pages. Uh-huh. But once we became a born-again believer, old things become new. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. So we see a drastic change that takes place. The absence of the Spirit of God, the absence of the Holy Spirit in any life is evidence enough that of the unsaved condition of that life. In fact, Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, he said that if you have not the Spirit of Christ. Jude. You want to go over and look at the little book of Jude just before the book of the Revelation. The little book of Jude. 25 verses. Jude, in this little epistle, this little letter, that's what, when we use the word epistle, that's just another word for letter. He wrote about a certain unsaved people. And he said these words in verse number 17. Verse number 17, he said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These are they who separate themselves," and this word "central" means natural, "having not the Spirit." Separate themselves. I have pastored long enough, and I've witnessed people to come into the church and say they want to be a part of the church, and so for a while they go along and they pretty well, but then they become uncomfortable, and because they would not either repent or make things right, they just kind of one day, well, they were gone. Here one day and the next gone. And the Bible, Jude said, they separate themselves because they're having not the Spirit. That's Jude's words. That's not mine. I don't want to see nobody leave. I don't want to see. I mean, as long as they're here, under faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's hope, I think, you know. But sometimes they live. Over in 1 John, we studied, there was some that went out from us because they were not of us, John said. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. We don't like for it to, but it happens. So note that word, central, in verse number 19. That is exactly the same word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, translated natural. That verse says this. You don't have to look at it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." The natural man receives not the things of God. That's foolish to them. They think it's foolish. Brother Fred, you testified to this when you were flying up over the Brooks Range, looked down at the church before you were saved, and thought, "Oh, what are those people doing out there on this beautiful day? Fools. Is that what you called them?" Yeah. Why? Because you, at that time, you were a natural man. Yeah, going fishing. Yeah. But you thought that. That's your own word. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. The Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Spiritually discerned. So this refers to an unsaved man or woman, a person. It's foolishness to them. They do have not the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for the simple reason the Spirit of God has not taken up his abode in such a life. Now, just as the absence of the Holy Spirit in a life speaks of the unsaved or the lost condition of that person, so the presence of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of life and the gift of God to the believer. That life that is a gift of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So if you have the Spirit of Christ, you are his. Now, if the Spirit of God, if the Holy Spirit is in us, he produces the kind of life that God wants us to have. Or we have the ability, we have the capability, we have the power. Later on, we'll look at the power that comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. But it's there because the Spirit of God is living in our hearts. Now, if the Holy Spirit is not in us, then we're still in sin. We're lost. We're in an unsaved condition. All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I just said? All believers, even the little fellas, 6, 7, 8 years old, and the old guys. I didn't mean to look at you, John. I was just the old guys. All believers are indwelt, and all the in-betweeners. All right? All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, this does not necessarily mean that all believers are filled, all right, or controlled by the Holy Spirit. I am careful to note the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling or the controlling of the Holy Spirit. I will testify before you that there's been times in my life where when I was not controlled, I was not being filled or filled with the Holy Spirit. He still lived there. He was indwelling me. But I was not yielding to Him. I was not being filled by Him because I had some things in my life that hindered Him from filling and controlling my life. All right? So I'm very careful. I understand everybody that says they're a believer, they have the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't mean that they're being controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll be preaching and teaching later on the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'll make some references here and there. Now, listen to me at this point. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, just as the sealing of the Holy Spirit we spoke about last time, does not depend on us. Does not depend on us. Or our consciousness of what of that indwelling. Let me explain. Whether we feel that we are indwelt or feel that we are not indwelt has nothing to do with it. The moment that I got saved, the moment I trusted Christ, He came in and I didn't say, "Oh, what was that?" I did not even know. I felt different because my sins was gone. The burden of sin had been left. When I got saved, I felt like, I was only 7 years old, but I knew if I hadn't trusted Christ and died in my sins, I was going to go to hell. And I felt burdened under that sin. But when I got saved and realized that sin was removed and I was washed whiter than snow as we sung that song, oh, it was a relief. I bet it felt like you, Travis, whenever you went to the doctor under that burden of thinking, "I've got cancer. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to die." And the doctor said, "There's nothing there that looks like cancer." Well, did you feel that burden come off? When he said, "Oh, yeah, I bet that's what it feels like when you get born again. You're condemned under sin, but once you realize that Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed me white as snow." He relieved that. Now, at that moment, the Holy Spirit came in. At that moment, I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. Unto the day of redemption, I had no conscience about it. At 7 years old, I studied about that later, and I realized it. When you got saved, Brad, did you have really any conscience about that or what was all going on? No, you're just glad I ain't going to hell. Amen. That's enough to shout on. That's enough to praise God on. I ain't going to hell. I didn't know that. When did you get saved, brother? 11 years old. Did you understand all this, you know, that the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt? No. We still try to figure it out. But thank God we don't have to figure it out because the Lord just says it. Amen. Yeah. And He sealed us until the day of redemption. Oh, my goodness. I opened a can of fish the other day. It was sealed until I opened it. It would have been good for another 2 or 3 years. I don't know how long. It'll never stay around that long. You know, to find out what the life of that can is. I've dug in the back of her pantry before and pulled out some stuff. I'm afraid, you know, it's starting to swell. No. But we're sealed into. I didn't know it at the moment I got saved, but it didn't change the fact. And it had nothing to do with us. That was the work of God in our life, sealed us with His Spirit, indwelled us. Now, I want you to understand that. Whether we feel we are indwelt or we don't feel, feeling has nothing to do with it. According to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, our text verse, Paul lets us know that it is possible for a believer not to know that they are indwelt by the Spirit. See what he said there in verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians 3? He says, "Know ye not?" In other words, don't you know? So for him to say that tells me that it is possible for believers, the Corinthian believers, they didn't know. You see that? Know ye not that that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? They were believers, but evidently, because of the way he worded that, they did not realize it, that the Spirit of God lived in their heart or lived in their life. But as one grows in the things, got saved at 11, got saved at 7, 7 come 11. But we start to grow in those things. We start maturing in the Word of God. And here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Boy, if we'd have got it all at one time, we'd just have blown our brain. I mean, it just boom. But here we go, and we're learning, and we're growing. But at the moment, I had no idea. But as we grow in these things, we grow in the Word, we become conscious of these things. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not qualified by whether or not we feel like it. We feel like it. Later on, as the Holy Spirit would convict me of things in my life, I told you kids, I told you that I don't know how old I was. I was old enough to know better. But me and my cousin Harold, we found a couple of cigars on the road. On the side of the road, in a box. Somebody throwed them out the window. Probably a wife said, "I want you to stop this." Throwed it out. But we picked up that cigar. We knew that we should not smoke that. I knew it. No one was there to tell me, but there was something inside. I was about 12 or 13. There was something inside that told me I should not do this. For several reasons. Mama would kill me. My grandmother, I mean, she would have my hide. It was this is also, I didn't know it at the time, did not realize this was the temple of the Holy Spirit. And put that stuff in my body, in this temple where He dwells. And I went ahead and did it anyway. Yeah, Harold especially, he got sicker than, I mean, he was green as those chairs. And puked his shoe heels up. But I mean, and then I got a spanking on top of it because I gave it to Harold and lit the match. But there was something inside me that told me I shouldn't do that. First of all, it's not healthy at all. And then you don't know what's in it. You found it on the road. No, it was in the package. It was good. I mean, no, it wasn't. But there was something. Sister, you're laughing at me, but have there ever been something there you knew that and you went ahead and did it? Oh, I tell you what. It happens. It is. Yeah, the same way. Yeah. Just be quiet, ma'am. You know, you're usurping authority. Okay? Yeah. Movies. Yeah. My wife one time, she said, "I want to go see a movie." First of all, it didn't matter what it was rated. We were married. She wanted to go see a movie about Charles Manson. And they played it at 11 o'clock at night. And no wonder. She went. And yeah, we did. But it affected her. She got on her knees. I never heard her cry out to God, "I'm sorry I ever did that." Because it put some things in her mind that took a while to get out. Took a while to get out. Why did that bother her? Because she's not dead to those things. She, we'll look at it later, quenched the Holy Spirit. Maybe even grieved the Holy Spirit. Are we the only ones in here who's ever had? No, we've all done that. Yeah, we've all done that. But as we grow in the things of the Lord, the Spirit of God says, "Amen." That's right. That's right. Now, what that does more to me, it tells me I'm a child of Him. Amen. My goodness. I never spanked another child lived on this road because they weren't mine. But Andrew, every once in a while, I'd grab him, bring him in, wear him out, send him back out and tell him to apologize to those kids he'd been fighting with or whatever. But he was, I mean, it was just as much their fault. They was all in it. But I didn't touch them because they're not my child. You know why God chastens us? Because He speaks to us first with a still, small voice. And He says, you know this is wrong. And then we go on. We have to suffer the consequences. And He lovingly chastens us, takes us to the woodshed, whatever, and spanks our little bottom, spiritually speaking. And you know what that does for me? It says, thank you, Lord. I'm a child. I didn't know that at first. I was too busy ouching and crying. But afterwards, I promised myself I wasn't going to run rabbit trails. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not qualified whether we feel it or if we don't feel it. It is a truth for every believer. He indwells us. Since God says it, so it is so. Whether you realize it or not, if you've trusted Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into your heart and forgive you your sins, He has taken up His abode. Amen. Even the carnal Christians is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Though carnal, that person, he or she, is still a believer. This is true with the Corinthians. Just go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our text again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, he's talking to who now? Brothers in Christ. I, brethren. Because, and somebody said, well, this is probably some Jews. There might have been a few Jews in that Corinthian church, but most of that was Gentiles. So he couldn't be brothers after the flesh or another Jew. So he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There's another word that says they're believers. So it is possible, though carnal, you can still be a believer. Paul said, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as carnal or fleshly, although you're in Christ. I believe the Corinthians, and I believe even the pals. You say, well, who's the pals? That's the POWs. The Corinthians and the pals need to be awakened to the truth that the Holy Spirit is indwelling presence. That right there, if we're aware, and the more we're aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, it will prevent, it will guide us in what to do and what to do. There's things I won't watch on the television because who's living in my heart? I mean, Marvin, I spend quite a bit of time with your wife here and Melissa, and there's things I don't talk to them because they're in my presence. You know what I mean? I respect them as ladies, and I wouldn't talk. I mean, there's some things but if I could take that same thought that the Lord is there, I won't read certain materials. I won't watch certain things. I won't go for certain places because He said, I'll never leave you. He's going with us. Praise the Lord, He don't leave us. Amen. But I tell you what, it makes me think because I'm aware of His presence. It would do us all good to be more aware of His presence in our life. Whether we feel it or not, He's there. The indwelling, and I'll say more about this later, the indwelling is not the feeling. All right? Don't get that confused. The indwelling of the Spirit is not the feeling. The consequences of remaining carnal remaining carnally minded, when God has made it clear in His Word to us, should cause us to search our hearts. Look at verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse number 17. Paul said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God, these are strong words, destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Ma'am, you were exactly right. The things that we put into our body, the cholesterol, if we're going to use this body to serve Him and want to serve Him till I'm 80 or 85 or even 90, I should. What you just said will be convicting me. All right? Thank you. And I was just joking when I said that, but it struck a pain. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. What we put in, this is the temple. We should watch it. If we want to serve the Lord, we want to serve, I want to serve Him for a long time. You're absolutely right. I won't smoke, I won't drink, I won't do, but I'll eat extra donut. And one day it will. Maybe not tomorrow morning. But no, I was making light of the donut. Let's get back on track. Now look at that. If any man, any believer, look at it, defile. Notice that word defile. Defile the temple of God. Him, that person who defiles that temple, the Bible says, shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? There's two words there, that word defile, that word destroy. You realize they're the same Greek word? You could actually turn them around. You could say, if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God defile. Same word. It's the same word. It means this. It means to pine. It means to waste. It means to shrivel. It means to wither. That is, to spoil, to ruin, corrupt, defile, destroy. That's what it means. Now, what does this mean to you and I? It could mean physical death. It could. And I'm going to give you two examples. And I've prayed about this, and I think it would be fitting for me to do that. Let's go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to show you something. Acts chapter 5. This is not many days since Pentecost. The church is flourishing. The church is growing. By chapter 4, I think I looked at chapter 2, the converts was 120. By about chapter 3, I think it was 3,120. 3,000 souls. If I'm right, chapter 4 is like 8,000. 8,120. There's another 5,000 saved. And by the time we get over to chapter 5, there's where I saw it this afternoon. There's a multitude. I didn't mark it. I marked it in my other Bible. I had this one downstairs. So things are going good. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse number 36, Barnabas, his name, the apostles knew him by Barnabas. And what was happening was there was there it is, verse number 32. Acts chapter 4, verse number 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed of was his own, but they had all things common. What they were doing, they were bringing the things into the church, selling things, bringing in church, and people that had need, they were taking care of them. It was before Social Security, before welfare. This is what the church was doing. All right? Barnabas, go down to verse number 36. Barnabas, being interpreted, the son of consolation. That means he was an exhorter. I like to be known as a person that makes people, you know, exhort people and kind of encourage them. I don't do that sometimes. Sometimes I kind of disconnect from them. I do. I got an uncle, my Uncle Jim. Every time I see him, boy, you have got all of his attention. He just wants to encourage you to stay in there. You stay with it. You're doing a good job. I mean, you know, I like to be around those types. I do. That's Barnabas. All right? Now look here. Look here. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right. That's what everybody was doing. Barnabas had a piece of land. He sold it. He brought it in and said, here it is. Take it. Use it however you need. Now look at chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy of it. His wife knew all about it. All right? And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. There's nothing wrong with that in itself. But what was going on in his heart? All right, he never said nothing wrong. He never, you know. I imagine this. Everybody was saying, bless Barnabas' heart. Man, did you see what he done last Sunday? Boy, I tell you what, I can't believe it, how God is working in his life. Boy, that is wonderful. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted that. They wanted that applause. They sold a piece of land. They brought a portion of it. If they had said, come in and said, here's half of the profit, you know, you take it, wouldn't have been nothing wrong with it. But they notice this, look at it. And he laid it at the feet, the apostles' feet, verse number 3. But Peter said, I wonder how Peter knew. He knew it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him what? Discernment. That something wasn't right. And he spoke it. And he said, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's why I said I take it very serious. The things of God. Take it very serious. Lie to the Holy Ghost. And keep back part of the price of the land. Now notice what Peter said. While it remained, was it not thine own? Question. It was your land. It was your piece. And after it was sold, was it not thine own? In thine own power? You had the right to do with whatever you wanted to. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, Ananias never said a word. Not one word. He just brought it in. He was going to let them think. Boy, I tell you what, that hit half of us, don't it, from time to time. Just let them think. But Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, Peter, being a man of God, and with discernment, he said, you've lied. Notice what happened. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Boom. And gave up the ghost. Graveyard dead. Right there in the congregation. Right there in church. And it says, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. No doubt. No doubt. There was great fear. Notice verse number 6. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him out there on the side of the parking lot. Dug a hole and buried him. Now, verse number 7 says, and it was about the space of 3 hours. It was a long Sunday school class. 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She probably saw those fellows out on the side of the parking lot, but she didn't pay no attention. She came on in. And then verse number 9 says, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Again, she hasn't said nothing, but discernment. Sometimes God will give a man of God or a person that's filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit a certain discernment. And he just knows. And he says, why now? How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Question. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. They did not take the Spirit of God and the things of God seriously. They entered in with just a flippant attitude. They conceived in there. They had a lie they were going to portray, you know, just let everybody think. And God called them on the carpet. It's a serious thing to grieve, to quench, to ignore the Holy Spirit in our life. A very serious thing. Look with me at one more text. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Having to do with the things of God. Chapter 11, this is where Paul gives the order for the Lord's Supper, something that we do ever so often. He said in verse number 24, how the Lord took and ate. This is, he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then the same thing with the cup. This is my blood, the New Testament, in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. We all know about this. Now look at verse number 26. It says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. I know we've all talked about this. What does this all mean? It can mean not taking it serious. Unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Or it could be totally an unbeliever. Just an unbeliever coming in and taking it. Pretended. That's what Ananias were doing. They were pretending. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, because people have been doing this and people have been practicing this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Notice what Paul said, and many sleep. I looked up that word sleep. You know what it means? Huh? It means to put to sleep. It means that is to slumber, to decease, to be dead. Because they did not take the things of God seriously. One in Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they lied to the Holy Ghost. They did not take him serious. And they betrayed and dropped dead. Here, Paul said, there are some that are sick among you. And some have gone as far as even die because they did not take this serious. That's why when we do the Lord's Supper, we say, you need to examine yourself. I'm not examining you. Sister, I won't examine you and you won't examine me. We're going to take a look, see if there's anything in our life. Maybe a sin that God, the Holy Spirit, has been convicting and telling us about. And at this moment, we realize how serious this is. I said, Lord, please forgive me of that. I don't want to do this unworthily. Because, I mean, we should be walking and living a different way. Christ is our Savior and He's Lord of our life. Oh, my goodness. I am running out of time. Real quick, let me give you this. And I can stop right there. Well, I just got just a couple more points. Whether or not we believe this, God says our body is holy. And since He has made it His temple. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, He said, we're bought with a price. He says, therefore we should glorify God in our bodies. Sister, you just pricked my heart. Glorify God? No. Glorify God. All those books that you gave me about before the heart attacks, talking about getting rid of this thing, she just convicted me by that same thing. I know. You got it. You got it. I'm going to go to India looking like Buddha. That's the truth. You got it. You got it. I know. Let's just meet in the altar, man. Just get it. I mean, we really have. What did he say? We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And you might not have with weight, but there's some other things. Don't look so smug. All right? Little skinny rail over there. Burns up at 5,000 calories by breathing. That's so true. So true. You thank you, sister, for just... Don't have to eat the whole thing. At that meat. I don't know. Let me give you another... Huh? Maple bar. Yeah, they are. Look at first... I want to go to 1 Peter real quick and I'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Now, you've not got long to lose your weight before you go to Africa. I got a couple years. I got a year. Oh. Verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen, we are warned in Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I am guilty, have been guilty, probably will, I don't want to be, of grieving. Anybody here haven't ever grieved the Holy Spirit? We have. I read over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19, it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Now, in the light of these things, we dare not take truth lightly. Lightly. We must realize, however, that our basis for the indwelling of the Spirit is our faith in Christ as our Savior and not our behavior. And thank God, whenever He said over there in John chapter 14, verse number 16, He said, Jesus said this, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He that He may abide with you forever. When you grieve Him, He doesn't leave. When we quench Him, He doesn't leave. He's still there. He's still there. He says, verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I am so thankful, because if the Spirit of God was to leave, you know what happened to me? I wouldn't be a child of God. That means I'd have to go back, get saved again and again and again. And there are denominations that believe that. They do. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'm going to dwell in you. I am in you. I will be in you forever. Regardless of what we do, we shouldn't do anything bad. We shouldn't grieve Him. We shouldn't quench Him. We should always... But thank God, we might sin, and we grieve Him, and we quench Him, and we that fellowship is not as sweet. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, as John was teaching over there in John, and he said, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. And if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, my goodness. 1 John 1 and verse number 9. If we'll confess these things, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, the Holy Spirit, thank God He doesn't leave. Because if He had left, I'd be back in my lost condition. But that gives me assurance, too. This is deep, deeper than we got time. But if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none His. How do you get the Spirit of Christ? Trust Him as your personal Savior. He'll do the rest. You don't have to invite Him to come in. I mean, as far as indwelling, you don't have to say, oh, Lord, it's time to seal me. He does that automatically. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. That's automatic. The only thing we're commanded to do is to be filled. To be filled. Be ye filled. That's a continual filling. Because we're a bunch of leaky vessels. Cracked, marred, messed up. What was that verse of Scripture you used this morning? That the Lord takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'm fool number one. Foolish thing. Number one. Oh.